This is the Drive and Dish Podcast.
Part of the 16 Wins a Ring Network.
Talking about NBA news, stats, and fantasy.
We hadn't even started yet!
To start it off, it's Tim Tompkins.
Part of what makes him such a good defender is his ability to switch, his ability to contest that three-point shot even when he is 7 feet away from it to run out and close out on the shooter.
Kevin Rayfuse.
If Russell Westbrook averages a triple-double for the season and his team makes the playoffs, I don't know how it can be anyone other than him.
And Justin Kuzak.
I know, I just feel like they got this guy and he's just been injured since. Like, I'm curious to see how they work him into lineups. Like, they've gotten so used to not having him. Like, how do they end up using him?
The Drive and Dish Podcast.
We start right now.
So last week, Justin and I did this whole episode on Hank. And Tim was not here for it because he was on a cruise to the Bahamas. And Tim is not here tonight. So I saw a picture that Tim posted when he was on this cruise. There was a basketball court on this cruise ship, I guess. So he posted a picture of him with a basketball, you know, ball is life, all that fun stuff. We talk about us playing pickup basketball once in a while. Tim is like the definition of a hustle player. He gets a lot of rebounds, keeps a lot of possessions alive just by really like running harder than everyone else. Like it's respectable. Like it's one of the most respectable parts of Tim's game. And so I guess he went to hustle. Like he was playing a game on the cruise ship. Ball was going out of bounds. He went to hustle for it. And dude, he fell off the cruise ship, and I heard he had to get rescued.
Oh, I thought it was going to be some like, what's that movie with Wilson? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Castaway.
I thought it was going to be some like Tim Castaway version.
No, we're gonna say we saved him. I thought you were going to say we virtually killed him. I was like, we're not going to do him like Eminem did Dr. Dre on The Real Slim Shady.
No, it'll be like he's on an island, and like 4 years from now he'll come back, and we'll be like a super successful podcast, but we like had to go on without him because he's on an island, and he's going to come back with a huge beard, really long hair.
Watch, the Suns will have been like the best team in the league for like the next 3 years, and he'll miss all of it, and they'll be like right at the decline.
He would be so sad too, because he talks about all the time about how he's been through the bad stuff with him.
He has. Tim like really missed. He was more of a college fan and missed the Suns and the Nash in the 7 seconds or less era.
Yeah,
and so he kind of has caught the mediocrity of it.
Well, you know, I mean, hopefully, I hear he's going to make it back for this weekend.
He'll be back. So. No, Tim will be back. He's not. He is very okay. Very. You know, we've matured. We don't lie about where people are anymore. Tim is fine. He's off his cruise to the Bahamas. He'll be back this weekend.
Right.
In the meantime, you're listening to the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. Welcome, everybody. My name is Kevin Rayfuse. Joining me to my left, well, usually is my co-host, Tim Tompkins. He's still recovering from his cruise to the Bahamas, so behind the boards, keeping us honest as always, our producer, Justin Kuzart.
Well, I guess I'm not technically behind the boards because my laptop's so old that I can't actually.
Shh, they don't know that. You know, it's figurative.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. That's fair.
Tell me something I do not know. Do not know.
Now. If you do not know the present, how can you claim to know the future?
Now on NBA News on the Drive and Dish podcast.
We need to know now.
Joel Embiid's rookie season ended early, having only played 31 games this season, as well as really over the course of his career in the NBA, and now it looks like he'll require surgery on a torn meniscus. The Hawks' Paul Millsap, who has been out the last three games with a knee injury, is expected to opt out of his $21 million contract for next season to become a free agent. No surprise, as this is likely his final long-term deal. Robin Lopez and Serge Ibaka were each suspended one game for an in-game fight during the Raptors-Bulls game. We have a video of this incident on our Facebook page at Drive and Dish Podcast. Russell Westbrook now has 35 triple-doubles on the season. He recorded his 35th against the Sixers on Wednesday night. He also became the first player in NBA history to record a triple-double without missing a shot, and that includes a free throw or field goal. The Pacers are always known for setting records, right? They've set a record for most backcourt violations in the NBA at 13 this season. Random note from that Pacers-Celtics game as well. Paul George attempted 13 two-pointers, 13 three-pointers, and 13 free throws. Weird. The Phoenix Suns have been eliminated from playoff contention along with the Lakers and the Nets. Next up, the Magic and the Sixers. In the race for the eighth in the West, Portland sits one game back in the loss column for the eighth spot, currently held by the Denver Nuggets. In the East, the Bulls sit two games back from the eighth, whose spot is held by the Heat. Eric Spoelstra for Coach of the Year, anyone? I'm serious. Eric Spoelstra, Coach of the Year. And leave us a review on iTunes. We'll read it on the show, and it goes a really long way in helping other people find out about the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. And that's your news for this week.
Something.
So, shameless plug, I'm trying to get my girlfriend some tickets to Ed Sheeran. He's coming in the summer to Orlando, and my first place that I went to check out was SeatGeek. They had some great prices, and the seats were really reasonable. Now, how SeatGeek works is when you log on, you will see the best deal on every ticket, because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available, and they'll show you that by a little green dot. SeatGeek does give it a grade based on its value. Everyone's been kind of worried about how real the tickets are going to be. SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets on the SeatGeek app with confidence they will get you into the stadium. And of course, they've teamed up with us yet again, 2 years in a row now, and they're giving our listeners a $20 back rebate on their first SeatGeek purchase. So all you have to do, download the app. It is free in your app store. Go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter the promo code DISH. That's D-I-S-H. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you made your first purchase.
And you're listening to the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. Kevin Rafuse, Tim Tompkins, Justin Guzart. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Drive and Dish NBA. And we've got a special guest on the line right now, Mr. Taimon Turner. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Taimon, T-A-I-M-O-N-T-717. He is host of the Mavs Fanatic podcast, which is part of the Almighty Ballin' Podcast Network. And, you know, usually we just give everybody's credentials, but I do got to give some backstory here. Taimon and I were friends at Hofstra. We were friends and co-workers at WRHU, Hofstra station, and now we are podcasting friends. And you know, I'm excited to have Taimon on the show. And so, Taimon, I gotta ask you, man, he's an expat like me. We both lived in New York for like 4 years. Taimon is in Dallas now. I'm in Florida. Obviously, you guys know Justin is in Florida. And so, Taimon, you know, I tell people all the time I miss Napolini's more than anything, but you know, of all the food up there, which do you miss the most?
Oh, man, that is a hard one. There's two in particular. I miss Cherry Valley, the deli place, because I love deli sandwiches. Yeah. And I also miss Amore Pizza, which was actually in Queens. If you went to a couple of Mets games, I went to go we would go tailgate and we get the pizza from Amore. Flat out incredible.
Oh yeah. I mean, that New York pizza is just unbeatable. And Justin, you haven't been to Cherry Valley Deli. There were two delis up there that we really liked, Jim's and Cherry Valley. And Cherry Valley, Jim's, you could get just ridiculous things. It would be like a plate of waffle fries with like bacon, mozzarella cheese, jalapenos, and all, or you could like do all that in sandwich form. It was just absolutely outrageous.
I mean, I'm sold. When are we going?
So, dude, I'm telling you, we may have to make a New York trip for it.
It's open 24/7.
That's the best part. That 3 a.m. run.
Oh yeah.
it's a problem. But I'm finally ready to talk about this. Taimon is here to talk about the Mavericks. And for anyone who listens to this podcast, when the Nerlens Noel trade went down, I was, how do we say, a little less than enthused. I really think the Sixers got fleeced. Taimon's here to talk about it. Nerlens Noel is officially a member of the Mavericks. He's thriving so far. You know, I've always compared the guy to Tyson Chandler, who I know is a guy that you're very familiar with. I think the guy just has all the upside, especially on the defensive end. You know, what have been your initial impressions of Nerlens Noel as a Dallas fan?
You said it best. It's basically Tyson Chandler part two, a younger version. I mean, the fact that he's 22, I think he fits in pretty well here. I think one thing that he loves, he actually mentioned this in a report about a week ago. He said that he likes being here in Dallas because the veterans really hold the younger players accountable, and him being a younger player. And he looks at some of the other younger players like Yogi Ferrell, like Harrison Barnes, like Seth Curry. The older guys like Dirk, like JJ, Darren Williams when he was here, but Nerlens Noel wasn't here for that. But some of the older veterans, they hold younger players accountable whenever they would make mistakes and whatnot. And the Mavericks are a young team, so they do things well. They have a lot of potential for growth, but they're also not that good of a team. But you know, Nerlens himself, he's still learning, obviously, and you know, coming to a new team, a new system mid season. It's going to take a little bit of time, but I think everybody here loves him so far, and you know, he's a restricted free agent at the end of the season, so we're wondering, how is he going to get the full max of money, or is he going to get maybe just under the max? Personally, I think he'll get the max.
Do you want them to send the max, I guess?
I mean, I've always, like, if you can get a really good, great player for under the max, I'm always down for that. But I think if you look at the NBA climate right now, I think you have to give them the max, because, I mean, players are all over. I mean, with the cap gone up last year, all types of players are getting, you know, a lot of money. Even players that we thought were, you know, before were just maybe B players, they're getting, you know, top money now. So I think they got to give it to them. And it's clearly a step for the future, because everybody here in Dallas obviously loves Dirk Nowitzki, but Dirk's not going to be here forever. So they're turning the tide. Harrison Barnes got the max last year. Noel is in position to get the max this year. So that's going to be your future. Those are going to be the two guys you're going to have to build around. So you got to start somewhere. So I say go for it.
Yeah, that's a reason why I really like this move for Dallas, was just because, you know, as you start to look to, you want to stay competitive in the Dirk era just because you guys kind of owe him that. But at the same time, you know, this is a move like Barnes, like some of these other guys, Yogi and Seth Curry, that you mentioned, to build for the Mavericks' future. You know, since you mentioned him, Harrison Barnes obviously got the max last year. A whole lot of, you know, talk about that, debate about that. Most were less than enthusiastic when Harrison Barnes signed that contract, especially after the finals. And even in the preseason this year, wasn't exactly inspiring. But really all this season, he's been pretty solid for you guys, you know, to the point where nobody's really talking about that contract as a joke anymore. You know, what has really impressed you the most about Harrison Barnes in his first season as a Mav? And what does he really need to improve upon as, you know, the franchise looks to go forward building around him?
I remember we at Mavs Fanatic, we did a round table article talking about which player was going to be the guy to step up for the Mavericks this season. And I wrote specifically, I said, Harrison Barnes is going to have a breakout year. I know he had a bad finals. I know he had a bad preseason. He even had a bad Olympics. A lot of people kind of forget that part. But I said he's a good player, and he was the fourth option on a 73-win team with the Golden State Warriors last year, behind Steph, behind Klay, behind Draymond. And he still averaged, if I'm not mistaken, like 10, 11 points a game. And I'm like, he's doing that as the fourth option. You can only expect, when the plays are going to be ran through him and for him and by him, that his numbers and his production is definitely going to go up. His play in isolation has been incredible this year. I mean, everybody's been talking about it. If there's anything that there's not much that he has to improve on. I guess just as you grow and get older, you know the game a bit better, and I think that's going to come with Barnes. But he's really embraced the role, and I think he knows that even though, you know, Dirk is still the face of the franchise and it's still Dirk's team, I think he knows that this is going to be his team, that he's in position to kind of take that torch. They're drawing up plays for Harrison that they used to draw up for Dirk, so he knows that. So it's been, you know, it's been a plus. He's leading the team in scoring, and you can't get mad at that. I think he's definitely been a positive.
He actually today, which was kind of surprising, came out with an article on the Players Tribune about, you know, moving to Dallas, and I guess when he did move there, it happened to be right when the shooting happened. So he had a very, very odd situation going on. But one of the things he said coming to Dallas is he wanted to win the respect of the fans. So I guess, you know, at this point in the season, has he won their respect?
Oh, absolutely. He definitely has definitely won their respect. During the first, at the opening game, for the Mavs home opener, Harrison Barnes actually took the microphone from Mark Cuban and talked to the Mavericks fans. And it was interesting because, you know, you're expecting Dirk to do that, but Dirk didn't do that. It was Harrison Barnes. And he kind of started off a little slow, but you kind of expect that. New player, new team. The Mavericks didn't have a lot of chemistry coming out of the preseason and whatnot. But the fact that he has played so well, and the fact that he's young and playing so well, and he's living up to that contract that he signed. Everybody's like, he signed a 4-year, $94 million contract. Everybody here in Dallas loves him so far, and they think it's going to get better. And I think another reason they love him even more is that Chandler Parsons last season didn't end so hot.
And I was just about to point him out.
Right. Yeah, he didn't end so hot here. And everybody at first was thinking, oh, you know, the Mavericks signing Barnes, this is just another Chandler Parsons, that he's going to underperform or whatever and whatnot. But he has definitely not done that. And everybody said, remember, he's 24. Everybody said he's only going to get better. So I think everybody's been definitely pleased.
Well, and if you look at Chandler Parsons now for the Grizzlies, it's been less than exciting. So
he hasn't been their $32 million man, has he?
Yeah, it's definitely safe to say Harrison's way better than what they did have.
It's just so unfortunate with Chandler Parsons. Like I thought he was such a good fit for the Grizz, and I still understand why they gambled, especially with that window, I should say. The Mavs dodged a bullet there.
Real quick, last year with Parsons, Mavericks fans actually wanted him back. They just didn't want him for what the price he wanted for that max. Everybody was like, if he could come back, you know, for you know a decent contract, sure, it would be nice to have him, but definitely not worth the max.
Obviously validated a little bit this year, but you know, I want to talk about a guy who's been really exciting, you know, not just for Mavs fans, but for basketball fans in general to watch his rise this year, you know, playing Long Island, you know, Yogi. He's come in and played some quality minutes for the Mavs, you know, really. I mean, how big of, I don't want to jump the gun and say he's a guaranteed part of this future, but, you know, how good of a position has Yogi played himself into next year?
You know, Yogi signed a 10-day contract when he came here, and then he turned that 10-day contract into a million-dollar contract. And there was a joke around the Mavericks locker room and say, hey, how do you make $1 million in 10 days? Just go ask Yogi Ferrell. Well, Yogi has played, obviously, extremely well. And I was at the his American Airlines debut against Cleveland. When he came here, and he had a great game. He outperformed Kyrie Irving, the guy he was guarding, and Kyrie did not play well that night. And a lot of people contributed that to Yogi's defense. So he was automatically, you know, like, well, who is this? You know, who is this guy? And actually, before that game, I was in the locker room talking to Yogi, and this is when nobody in the media was really talking to him. So there was only like three or four guys talking to Yogi. And, you know, he's a very humble guy, and everybody's saying, or he's saying that, he's just taking advantage of every opportunity that he can get. And he was really thrown into a very difficult position because he came here and was told to start. Like, you're going to start. Darren Williams was hurt. Devin Harris was hurt. JJ Barea was hurt. You're here to start. And, after that game against Cleveland, Carlisle was like, where was this guy? Was he in Erie or Long Island last year? He was somewhere up there, and the guy's just been playing great, and he's definitely built into the role. Some people are wondering what he can be, what's going to be, you know, what level of play can he rise to. I'm not really sure. Me personally, I think that he can be somewhat of a JJ Barea in his prime. And J.J. Barea has been a solid player in his league for a while now, so that's kind of like his window where everybody puts him. But it's definitely been exciting to watch.
Well, and you kind of pointed it out. One of the things I've noticed in general with the Mavs is you look at their players, and specifically their, you know, point guards, not many of them are averaging a ton of assists. I think Darren Williams is close to 7, but after that, I think Yogi's number 2 at like 5. And I believe they are they're like 30th or 27th, sorry, in the league for assists per game. So how do they go about addressing that? Is that just because a lot of their point guard players are young between Curry and between Yogi? Is that kind of why we're seeing this low assist rate?
Yeah, I think it's that, and I think it's also if you look at the Mavs throughout the season, they've had a lot of injuries at the point guard position. I mentioned earlier, you know, JJ's been out for significant of time. When Darren Williams was here, he was out for a significant amount of time. Devin Harris has been in and out. Yogi is still trying to learn the system while playing starter minutes, and I think Yogi is more of a shooter, a top of the key shooter, than he is more of a passer. So I think there's that. So that's been one of the things they're saying. If the Mavericks go on, if they've been calling it organically tanking, if the Mavericks end up missing the playoffs, which it probably will happen. I mean, they still have a shot at the AT, but if they miss the playoffs, it looks like they're going to go point guard because of the uncertainty of Yogi Ferrell, the fact that they might have a top 10 draft pick, and the fact that that position has kind of been, you know, their Achilles heel for a little bit of a while now. I mean, if you just look back over the last few years, they've had it seems like they have a different point guard almost every year, and they had a couple of stars, or let's say star guys, since they won the championship, Jason Kidd and Rajon Rondo. But obviously Jason Kidd was towards the end of his career. Rajon Rondo definitely didn't work out. So no. Point guard is definitely a need that they're going to probably look at towards the draft.
Yeah, good draft for that, too. You know, obviously not really in position for Dallas to get one of the big guys like Fultz or Ball or Dennis Smith, maybe. But still, you know, such a deep draft. And, you know, you guys are obviously going to keep that pick. You know, it's owed to us, but if Dallas was to the playoffs, it's not going to be in position for that. So have that first round or good mid-lottery pick. But so, you know, one guy, speaking of that trade with Philadelphia again, ever since Justin Anderson has been shipped out, you know, we've seen a lot of Dorian Finney-Smith. And, you know, he's a guy, another undrafted rookie who seemed to play some quality minutes for Dallas this year. You know, what have you liked about him?
He's a nice player. I think that there's still a lot of game that he has to work on. I mean, he's put in a lot in garbage time. He's put in a lot to, you know, to give guys some rest. And the fact that he plays for a tough coach who's tough on young players. Rick Carlisle is very, very tough on young players. So when young players are in the game, you need to produce or you're not going to play. That's kind of always been Carlisle's thing since he's been here in Dallas. So, I mean, he's a nice player, but sometimes it's just kind of hard to judge him because, you know, that was, you know, when you're judging Dorian Finney-Smith, it's kind of like judging Justin Anderson. I think everybody here in Dallas like Justin Anderson, but when you're playing with a guy or playing for a guy like Rick Carlisle, you can't, you know, regress. You have to, you know, constantly get better every single game, every single time. So, and if you're not doing that, it's going to be hard to succeed here.
Well, and you kind of referenced a second ago, you know, their seeding and how they're kind of still in the running to make it to the 8 seed. And then you had mentioned how you didn't think they were going to get it. And I agree with you there. I just don't think they're going to have that push. But I guess the question to you, and this is, I guess, maybe more of a, are you for a tanking team, you know, overall question, but well, why not just start continuing to lose as many games as possible so the pick is higher for the Mavericks?
Well, it's funny that you asked that because on the Mavs Fanatic podcast, I have been team tank all season. And then the Mavericks won 4 in a row, and I was like, well, you know, they're 2 games out of the playoff spot. Let's see if they can make the playoffs. I'm going to get off team tank. And then that happened, and then they lost 2 horrific games. They lost a few games. They lost to Phoenix. They lost to Kevin's 76ers by 42 points.
I actually didn't watch that game because it was part of the moving process, so I missed it. But I got the notification. I was like, 42? Like, what happened? How is this possible?
No, it's like they lose some heartbreaking games, and then they beat Washington, and then I'm trying to think, they lost again after that, but I can't remember who it was at the moment, but they're just inconsistent. And you know, I think they're, you know, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. They're in a tough stretch right now. They lost to Golden State last night. They have to play the Clippers at home. They have to play the Raptors at home. They have to play Oklahoma City at home. That is a brutal, you know, home stretch, but
that's not going to help them.
Yeah. I don't want, you know, Mark Cuban was on a radio station here in Dallas, 105.3 The Fan. And he said, we're not tanking, we're organically tanking. Like, we're trying to win, and if we make the playoffs, cool. But if we don't, you know, it's whatever. Because he doesn't. The Mavericks don't want to mess up the culture here. And a lot of the young players, they see how Dirk works. And, you know, they saw Dirk get his 30,000 point or whatever. And they don't want to try to lose. They don't want to set that culture, set that tone, you know, play some of their backups and, you know, for, you know, major starter minutes and whatnot, because they think that it'll hurt the culture overall that they're trying to lose. And they're like, Dirk's over the edge and whatnot. So I think this, and if you talk to the players, I mean, I think they really, really want to make the playoffs, and I think they can, or I think they'll tell you definitely that they can and that they're aiming for it. But, you know, they give mixed messages. You know, they lose to Philadelphia by 42, and then they go home and they go on the road to beat the Wizards in Washington. So it's like, you can't just show that inconsistency if you're going to try to make the playoffs.
As they look to the future, because, you know, I like the way Mark Cuban describes it with organically tanking, because I do think the Mavericks are in a different position than teams that are really going for the tank right now, like the Lakers, like the Sixers, like the Suns. You know, they already kind of have some of those core guys there and can focus a little more on winning. You know, to that point, you've already mentioned the need for a point guard, and that's something you want them to address in the draft. I guess as we approach free agency, and even deeper in the draft, you know, what do you think are some of the biggest issues the Mavs need to address going into the offseason?
They definitely have to, like you said, they definitely have to look at point guard. That's for one. They have to look at some depth just to have some guys, maybe some younger guys, so they can, you know, build a bench. And they have to find a way for Dirk, and maybe we'll do this more with chemistry and whatnot, but if Dirk and Noel are going to fit right, because Dirk at times has still been playing the five a lot. That's, even though he can do it, that's not his natural position. And if you want some defense down low, you're definitely not going to get it from Dirk. That's been said here in Dallas for the last 20 years. But, you know, they have to find a way. Dirk has said on occasion that he'd be willing to come off the bench. So I don't know what they're going to do. Are they going to put Harrison at four and then draft a three, or maybe sign a free agent at small forward? Or are they going to stick with Barnes playing the three and maybe draft another four and Dirk comes off the bench? So I think those are the top things you have to look at if you're going to try to build and maybe make the playoffs in Dirk's potentially final season, because Dirk has made the statement that he's coming back next season. So that's what they're going to have to take a look at.
It seems like you do have your scorers going forward between Barnes and, I mean, I guess Dirk for next season, but they're like right now they're 30th in the league for points per game, and at least for opponents' points per game, they're way up there at four. So are they going to focus more on the offense and add another offensive threat?
They could, because, I mean, the Mavericks are weird. They can score and they can't score, if that makes any sense. I know you said they're 30th in points per game, which is true, because there are times where they go stretches without scoring. I think yesterday in Golden State's game, they went 7 minutes without scoring. It was – or scoring a field goal, I should say. They got a couple of points from the free throw line. But, I mean, when you go 7 minutes without making a shot, it's going to be hard on your offense. I think a lot of it is just chemistry and getting everything together. They definitely need a point. I think with the right point guard, that would help. No disrespect to Yogi Ferrell. I think he's done a good job in the role that he's in. But if you can definitely get an upgrade, I don't think anybody on the Mavericks is mad at him.
So one of the biggest moments this season, I'm not going to ask you to 20 years of Dirk memories into an answer, but, you know, Dirk hitting 30K, it seemed like that was the moment where he, you know, everybody knows he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I think that's the moment where everyone in the NBA just kind of stopped and stepped back and appreciated Dirk and what he's been doing in Dallas for all this time now. So I guess, you know, you as a Mavs fan, seeing all these moments in the past, him winning MVP, winning the finals in 2011, you know, where does this rank in your Dirk moments, and, you know, Oof. How fun was that moment?
Oh, man.
It's definitely top five. I think, you know, number one, obviously, is winning the championship. I think you can't get higher than that. And number two, I think, was in 06, probably making the finals. But just seeing him do it. But for Dirk to get 30K, what went through my mind was everything that he's been through. I mean, this was a guy who literally came to Dallas not knowing any English. And he became, you know, really good friends with Steve Nash. And, you know, they had a nice little run together. And then in 07, we remember 07, a lot of Mavs fans do. Dirk wins MVP, has a great year. The Mavericks win 67 games just to get bounced by the Golden State Warriors in the first round. And, you know, usually when a player wins MVP, usually in the playoffs, they'll get to, you know, go in front of their home crowd and show off the trophy. Dirk had to go into a little office with Mark Cuban, and they did the press conference from there. And I felt so bad for Dirk. He was just so, you know, he just looked down. He was saying, you know, winning the MVP is great, but he traded in to go back to the playoffs for being the finals in a heartbeat. And then, you know, 2011, they finally do it. And I remember 2011 so vividly. It was just like, I remember they played Portland in the first round. A lot of people thought the Mavericks would lose because the Mavericks had so many playoff failures up in Dirk's career. So it was like, oh, this is, here we go again. And then they beat Portland. They beat the Lakers. They beat the Thunder. They beat the Heat to, you know, go off as champions. And, you know, Dirk obviously secures his legacy with that ring. And then to get 30K, you know, Dirk got drafted when I was 6 years old. He played his first game when I was seven. I've been a Mavs fan my whole life. So it was like I've literally watched this guy, you know, from childhood to covering him professionally to watching him score 30,000 points. It was just like this guy, if I had to pick a sports figure just in all my liking of sports, basketball, football, baseball, hockey, whatever, Dirk's probably right there at the top because I've literally watched this guy since I was a kid. So it was definitely fun to see it.
I hear rumor, and I picked this up on a Reddit thread specifically for the Mavericks. Have they added something called a Dirkwurst to the menu at the stadium? And have you heard about it? Apparently it's a foot-long bratwurst served with like German mustard and cabbage and all that stuff. I was reading about it, and people were saying it's amazing.
I have not heard of that, but I would not be surprised, because let me tell you, like, I'm trying to think of just cities that particularly love, like, a certain star. Dirk is loved in Dallas. Like, you could go anywhere, whether you're a basketball fan or not. Dirk is – before Dirk got here, I would probably say the three other – I mean, I don't want to say before he got here, but in Dallas history – you have Roger Staubach, you have Emmitt Smith, you have Mike Modano, you have Nolan Ryan, Pudge Rodriguez, and Michael Young. Dirk Nowitzki is in that top eight. Like, remember MySpace back in the day, your top eight? Dirk,
he's up there.
Dirk is definitely your top eight. And he's honestly probably top three with Staubach, and Emmitt Smith is just loved in Dallas. You can go anywhere. Even you can find people who aren't fans of basketball and be like, oh yeah, Dirk, like, he plays in the Mavs, right? He's really humble. I like that guy. And everyone just loves him here. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's true.
Well, I got a quick one. You know, Dirk's jersey's obviously going to get retired. We had a listener on Facebook, Vincent Ho, hit us up and ask us, do you think Michael Finley and Steve Nash have any chance of getting their numbers retired?
I think Finley does, because Finley works for the front office. Nash, he's obviously loved here, but I think he's going to be remembered more as a son. I mean, he could get his number retired here. I mean, I with Shaq, like, I take Shaq, for example. You know, he was remembered for being a Laker, but he had some really good times in Miami. He won a championship there. He had some good times in Orlando and whatnot. I mean, it's Finley's a definite, but even though Nash was a fan favorite, I just don't think he played here long enough, and I think most people remember his glory years being with Phoenix.
Yeah, I was going to say, I see Nash as a Suns guy.
Oh, definitely. Nash is the best Sun of all time. I don't really think it's close. Like, just all the MVPs there, all the runs there, like, you know, Tim would be talking about Steve Nash if he was joining us on this interview. But Taman Turner is here. We've been talking Mavericks. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at TamanT717. That's TAIMON. Host of the Mavs Fanatic podcast. Make sure you follow them on Twitter at the Mavs Fanatic, part of the almighty Ballin' Podcast Network. And you know, Taman, we always like to get it out of here on a light note, but I don't know if this one will be so light. You know, when Taman and I talk a lot, it's about football, because I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Taman is a Cowboys fan. And Taman now knows this. Justin is a Redskins fan, so it is an NFC East battle royale in here. We all hate the Giants. Vicious. It's going to be vicious, but I have to ask both of you, but I'll ask specifically Taman first. Are you ready to lose twice to the Eagles this year?
That is not going to happen, because all I have to say is 214, and that's Zeke and Dak. And ironically, 214 is the area code for Dallas, so 214, baby. Let's do this.
The line is so good.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome. You know, led by Tyron Smith, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin. But I tell you one thing, Kevin. One thing I really look forward to is that I think that Dak and Wentz could be the next great quarterback rivalry.
I do, too.
I think that's going to be really fun to watch.
I do. I agree with that 100%. I think Dallas is better than us right now, if we're being dead serious. I mean, you guys just have a more complete team. The Eagles have addressed some holes. They're getting a little bit better. Like, last year, Wentz just had no weapons. That's a fact. A running back was weak.
There.
Receiver was weak. It's going to be fun. Dallas is good. Philly, I think we're a season or two off if we draft well. That's the other thing, too. We just got to draft well.
And by the way, I have to say this. I can't talk about the Cowboys without saying this. I still love number 9.
Dude, it's interesting with Romo. I feel like everybody likes Romo now. Romo was
No.
Come on. I feel like Romo's kind of off the hook. Because between, like, everybody obviously feels sympathy for injuries. And
now, I've hated him from day one. And it makes it worse because Prescott is such, like a nice guy. And you hear all these good stories about him. And, like, I don't know. I was just able to hate Romo, but then all these nice stories about Dak are coming out, and I'm like, I just need one bad one so that I can hold on to it and just let that be. I hate him.
It's just like, well, that's the thing. Like, I don't really dislike any of the Cowboys players. It's just, and it's all good. It's until they get on the field, and then I see them in that, I see that helmet, and I'm just like, all right, yeah, all right. We could talk about this after the game, but no, everybody wants classy individuals on their team. And speaking of classy individuals, Taman, we do want to thank you again, man. Appreciate you coming on talking Mavericks. We will have plenty more to say during football season, but we'll talk
Absolutely.
Again soon, man.
Thank you. Hey, thanks, guys, so much. And we'll definitely have you guys on, too. I mean, we're always looking for guests and whatnot. And thanks again for having me.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Always down to talk some Sixers. Taman Turner, follow him on Twitter at TamanT717.
I think we've done enough dancing for today. So why don't we dance Wednesday?
See you, Star Side.
Okay, well, I'm out of here.
Get in the hole.
Da, 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 da. Hey! Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da. Hey!
Let's go while we're young.
All right. I think they get the point.